former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a championship Monday here on the Lombardi Line as we welcome you into the show. The Lombardi Line, as always, presented by DraftKings. Will Hill in for Michael Lombardi today. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Who will win Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up tonight? We are seeing odds on the move between the Oilers and Panthers at DraftKings. Florida still a minus 112. Ever so slight favorite against Edmonton, but we're seeing some other shops where that number has moved, including where I am broadcasting from here at Circa Resort and Casino, where the Florida Panthers are an even money price. We also have the College World Series coming up later on tonight as well. Tennessee, can a number one overall seed finally win the College World Series? Hasn't happened since 1999. Will, what is going on? How we feeling? Championship Monday doesn't get much better.
Yeah, this is a very like unexpected great sports night. Usually Monday, one of the last Mondays in June, it's kind of all right, there's some baseball on, there's some filler stories here and there. Got a lot going on. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, college baseball final, NBA draft rumors heating up. I'm seeing Elliot's boy Edie, JVT just sent me this that Kevin O'Connor reported the Blazers at 7 could be targeting Edie. There's been movement with the number one pick, so a lot going on. It's a fun day. I'm excited for this game tonight because we don't get a lot of these. You know, NBA hasn't had a Game 7 final since 2016. NHL only had three since 2011. This is going to be the third one. So it's kind of a treat. It's special. I'll be watching this. I will watch every minute of this hockey game tonight. How about you? Do you have any do you have any plans? What will your setup look like tonight here, Game 7 of the finals?
Well, yeah, and I think from a fan standpoint, quite frankly, after what we witnessed in the NBA and the NBA finals, we deserve this. We deserve a long series. My setup tonight, I'll have the Stanley Cup final on the big screen, obviously, but I'll have some College World Series stuff. We'll have some other action on. I have a main screen, and then I have two TVs on the side. So maybe on that third TV, I'll throw up VSiN for good measure. But as far
beverages?
As,
is this going to be a beverage night?
No, it's a Monday. Okay. It's a school night, not for Stormy.
Okay.
Is that sad? I wish I was cooler. I just don't really have that in me.
What, it takes too much out of you the next day? Is it you need to be... I'm the same way. When I need to like have notes on a game and I try to, refrain. Is that your thought process?
Yes. With just about everything except for the Super Bowl. So last year, I'm a 49ers fan, and with San Francisco in the Super Bowl, I was like asking our bosses, is there anything I can do to not have to work tomorrow? No, Stormy, you have to work tomorrow. And I was like, okay, well be prepared. I'm going to look rough. But so not trying to do that throughout the course of the year if it's not my team. So I'm growing up, I'm maturing, but
you needed to drink after that game, by the way.
Okay. Thanks for that. You're not wrong though. And my whole family was in town, and we were just a sad, sad mess of alcohol and crying and all the things. Neither here nor there.
I can't believe they had the second and four at the 25 yard line. One first down ends the game. I had KC plus 3.5 live and Niners money line. So I had a very big decision. I was setting up perfectly for me. One first down wins the game. I still think about that once or twice a week.
We don't need to talk about this anymore. I'm already a glass case of emotion, and I'm stressed tonight because I've got a series play on the Florida Panthers that I do not feel confident anymore, but I don't want to hedge off of it either because Florida at home, I think that there's still opportunity there. Something that Greg Wyshynski said in the last segment, and for anybody who missed any of our one, remember you can always download the Lombardi Line in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts, but ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer, does a lot of the great coverage for ESPN covering the National Hockey League. He said something I thought was so dead on, and I completely agree with that. The first goal tonight could determine who ultimately wins the cup, because if you're Florida, it's oh no, it's happening again. If Edmonton scores first, or if you score first, you're like, okay, we've got a little bit of this confidence back that we have been lacking the last three games. And teams that score first in Game 7 of the Cup Final are 12-5, including a run of 8 straight dating back to the 1994 final. Historically, teams that score first, 149-48 all time in Game 7s in the playoffs, period. And for this Florida team this postseason, they're 5-5 when trailing after the first. They're 1-3 in this series. So when the Oilers have been able to get out early, Florida has not been able to claw back. And we saw two of those instances were early shorthanded goals as well for Edmonton.
I'm looking on DraftKings. They usually have these books. I'm sure it'll be somewhere. There's just so many things to bet. And they did a great job putting up different markets here. They're usually a prop. Will the team that scores first win the game? And you usually do have to lay north of $2. So I get what you mean. One goal, especially in a Game 7, one goal sort of feels like two goals, where if you're up 1-0, it feels like you're up 2-0. It's just so big. So I mean, if you want to lay the juice, if you feel that strongly about it, that market is usually out there.
As far as the total goes in this set, saw back-to-back unders to start the series, four straight over since. A bad beat if you had the under in game six with the two empty net goals late. I had the over, so I'm just going to thank my lucky stars for that one. But there have been 18 game sevens in Stanley Cup final history. 14 straight have stayed under 5.5, and all but one have stayed under. So good food for thought there, as we talked about earlier. You know, usually these game sevens, just tighter checking type low scoring games.
And game seven unders this postseason, just top of my head, have done very, very well, because I don't bet a ton of hockey, and if I do, it's not bigger bets, but the bigger bets, it will be game seven unders, and just, you know, what have we had, three or four this postseason? They've all, I think, all been unders. It's been a very profitable trend. You have every note known to man, so I'm sure you have that in your copious amounts of notes there. Let's talk about this, though, because I like Edmonton, you like Edmonton. I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I feel like I'm on the square side here, where everyone's betting Edmonton. It's a little recency bias. This is why people lose in the NFL. This is why the books do so well booking the NFL, because it's a week-to-week sport, and people react and overreact to the last thing we saw. Are we being square here betting Edmonton, saying, hey, they won the last three, that means they're going to win this one? Are we discounting Florida, saying, hey, this got to 3-0 Florida for a reason? Is Florida being slept upon here?
I mean, it's definitely the contrarian play today. But yeah, I think Edmonton is the square play today, because there's no momentum like momentum, and everybody's riding that wave of what the Oilers have been able to accomplish in the last three games. I think people also, to an extent, are kind of rooting for history. Canada hasn't won a cup since the early 90s. For Connor McDavid, the best player in the world, to finish this historic run where he's breaking Gretzky and Mario Lemieux records, to go on and be able to raise the cup over his head. I think that they're, from a storyline perspective, I think people probably are kind of rooting for Edmonton a little bit more in general as well. I don't have a firm opinion one way or the other. Yeah. Coming into the series, I was all about Florida, and the way that the series has shifted, just I'm not in a position where I want to double down on a bet that I already have in pocket. The one bet that I do have tonight is the first period under. We've had one goal scored in all but one game in the first period, so I feel like that's a trend that we're going to see again. Maybe a little bit of nervous energy early on in this one. Both teams did hold media availability yesterday, with some of their leaders discussing the moment ahead tonight. Here's Florida's Matthew Tkachuk, followed by Conn Smythe's favorite Connor McDavid, ahead of game seven.
It's been a very even series, even though, you know, we won three, they won three. I mean, for us both teams to have an opportunity, you know, most teams when you lose three in a playoff series, you don't have a chance at another game, and somehow both of us have an opportunity still. So very exciting, kind of leave it all out there. Desperation on both sides, you know, and it's been a very even series, I feel like. So it all comes down to this.
Well, you got to prepare just like you always do. You know, obviously it's not your ordinary game. Everybody understands that, but you got to make it as ordinary as possible in your head. You know, I think part of that is just sticking to your routine. You know, our room has done a great job of you know, being at our best in these big moments, and I would expect no different tomorrow.
Connor McDavid, by the way, in the Conn Smythe market, goes from around minus 250, minus 275 prior to game six to minus 3,000 to minus 5,000, depending on the sports book that you're looking at today, despite not logging a single shot on goal or point in game six. Okay, we'll talk more hockey in a little bit, but I did want to get to what you referenced off the top as it pertains to the NBA draft, another area where we've seen a lot of line movement lately.
Yeah, by the way, you said contrarian play, and you used an accent. I don't know what accent that
contrarian
was.
Contrarian. What is that? It's like old English, you know, just kind of, okay. You know, just have a little fun. Will, let me live.
Okay, no, I was just curious what it was. Old English, got it. Yeah, it's been interesting with the NBA draft, where Klingon was like 12-1, 15-1. JVT gave him out. A lot of people on this network, I know Ben Wilson came on my podcast, gave him out like 15-1, said by the time the draft comes around, he could be even money. So great job. Those are great bets. I got him at 12-1, but and he got down to like plus 150 this weekend. But Windhorst came out this morning and said he'd be very surprised. He prefaced it by saying nobody really knows in the league who Atlanta's going to pick, but he'd be surprised if it's Klingon. He said Risachet is the favorite, but don't count out Saar. Everyone assumes Saar's not going to go to Atlanta because Saar's kind of tanking his own draft value, trying to get away from Atlanta to Washington for whatever reason, I don't know, but that Atlanta would still be willing to take Saar. So again, with the draft, you always have to wonder what's the angle here? What's the misdirection? I mean, we saw the whole thing with Woj and Hurley. So you always have to take these reports with a grain of salt. But Risa Shea is now a pretty sizable favorite, -2, -250. So he is a heavy favorite. I would say from a betting perspective right now, if you had no bets, I'd probably take a shot at Sarr at 6-1 just because who knows? It's such a weak draft. Maybe somebody could trade up. Maybe the Spurs trade up. Maybe the Hawks just, this was a smokescreen and they take Sarr. I don't know. I think the line's probably correct. And then there were reports I just mentioned. Kevin O'Connor and JVT sent me this. Kevin O'Connor says Edie could be in play at the 7th pick with the Blazers. So I don't know how much stuff you have out there in Vegas, but we're looking at a wild couple of days in terms of the draft just because nobody seems to know anything and nobody's very familiar with these players either.
Well, just about 30 seconds, but can you put this into language that I understand as an NFL draft better for me personally? Like, how much stock can you put in information the way that we can in the NFL? Can you do the same in the NBA?
I think it's just reading the market. I think it's similar just in terms of the reading markets, but there's the same provision of like, hey, be careful if you're making this huge bet. Hey, this guy tweeted something. Well, who knows? It could be a message somebody wants out there. He could be getting bad information. So don't go crazy with this stuff. Just, you know, you have to keep that in mind when you're betting this stuff.
All right. Because I mean, there are true advantages, I feel like, sometimes in the NFL if you're following the right people at the right times. But there's also right. those smoke screens that are coming sure. through from information with agents. And so how do you kind of go through that? You hear that music? That means we got to take a quick break. Coming up, the best two words in sports, Jared Smith. Ha-ha! VSiN, host and betting analyst. He's going to join us next. We're going to talk Game 7 Stanley Cup Final. I'm sure he's also got some Yurfy, Nerfy action for us as well. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line with Will and Stormy.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is the week, ladies and gentlemen. Our NFL betting guide is officially dropping on Thursday. There's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. You'll have all the tools you need to bet this season. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving the insights you need ahead of the action. To get the guide, though, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and for a limited time, you can get our annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price, usually $240. You can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code Lombardi. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our special edition betting angles to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out. Our new NFL betting guide is available at vsin.com/subscribe, but you got to use that promo code Lombardi. Alongside Will Hill, in for Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in to the program Jared Smith on the Progressive Guest Line, jack of all trades, host and betting analyst here at VSiN. You can catch him on Live on the Line on Stadium, as well as all football season every weekend, Fox Sports Radio. Jared, we appreciate you coming in with us today. Will a Panthers loss in the Stanley Cup final be the biggest choke job in modern professional sports? Help us break it down.
Oh, wow. It is great to be with you guys today. Yeah, that, I think when you lose a 3-0 lead, I think if there's one sport where I wouldn't call it a choke job, I think it would be hockey, just because of how difficult it is in those elimination games, as you know, Stormy. And you give Edmonton a lot of credit. I think really, and we were watching Game 5 together, I think that first period of Game 5 was probably the best indicator of the Oilers' comeback. Like, you thought Florida had a chance to really slam the door, just like Vegas did last year at home in Game 5. They give up the shorty in the first, like, 5 minutes of the period. And then it was just, from there, it was just the momentum kind of took over. But I don't know. I think the number might be telling me Florida's got to be a play for us tonight.
Jared, I like Edmonton. I have a feeling they're going to win, but just listening to everyone, talking to everyone, I guess not everybody is on Edmonton. Do you worry this is a little too square? There's some recency bias. Who do you like in the game, and do you have a feel here for the total?
Yeah, I think the recency bias is absolutely going to take us to Edmonton. And listen, momentum's a hell of a drug in the postseason. I'm not denying the fact that eliminating a 3-0 deficit and to be on the cusp of what would be one of the most unbelievable comebacks in the history of sports, it has to fuel them in a way that Florida's probably fearful. I'm trying to picture myself on the plane back from Edmonton for the Panthers. Like, I think the Oilers plane could have like floated back from, back to Sunrise, but that must have been a really difficult and very long plane ride back from Edmonton after game 6. But then, Will, you look at the number and I'm like, okay, Florida was a -130, -140 favorite in games 1 and 2. It was kind of the same number in game 5. And now I'm seeing some shops flip the minus sign to Edmonton in this game. So mm-hmm. I don't know how much the momentum is worth. I think that is the difficult thing to handicap in this game. Obviously, the Oilers have momentum, but is it really a 20 or 30 cent move from what we saw just a few days ago in game 5? I don't think I'm there. So while I think the momentum certainly favors the Oilers, I think the number tonight favors the Panthers in terms of getting a discount. The total, listen, the unders have been unbelievable in game 7 historically. But now you have to do the flat 5. You're not getting that 5.5. So, they're making you pay for it. But I would still lean to the under tonight.
And speaking to what you're saying there about the price difference and the way that things have changed, your boy Todd Furman tweeted tonight will be the first time since October 19th that the Panthers could close as a home dog, a 60 wow. plus cent adjustment from where Florida closed at home in game 5. So it's really, really crazy to see the way that this thing has moved. And, Greg Wyshynski, we had him on the program a little bit ago. He made an interesting point that I am completely on board with, that it feels like whoever scores first tonight could be in a position to go on and win the game tonight, just like you were saying with what we felt in this game five, when you see Edmonton score that shorthanded goal early. Does it feel like goal 1 tonight is the goal that'll finish it?
Absolutely. And I know it's not the end all be all in hockey, right? Two goalies, the worst, lead in hockey, all that stuff. But I think it's almost impossible for me to look at this game from like an analytical perspective. Like game 7 to me is like this own entity. And yes, the team that scores first, that gets that monkey off of their back and can relax a little bit, I think will play better later on. The question is, when will the first goal happen? I'm not so sure it'll be in the first period. I could see this being a scoreless first period. But I agree with that sentiment completely. If there's some kind of correlated parlay you can cook up, team that scores first wins, obviously it's very correlated. But I do think that is an absolute smart way to look at it tonight.
Jared, is McDavid going to win the Conn Smythe no matter what? Or can you make a case if somebody hits a game winner? Then okay, there you
okay,
go.
Okay, yes.
I can't even. Well, you analyze these futures markets a lot. Like, does the market get something this wrong this late in the game? Like, -3,000 is big. I mean, that is a massive price. I can't see the market getting something that wrong and letting it sit up for 3 days and let people bet into a 40-1, 50-1, whatever the long shots are priced at. I can't see the market getting it this wrong.
Tell me your thoughts on the goaltending tonight. We know Stuart Skinner has gotten better as each of these postseason series have gone on. And Bobrovsky, it feels like since that game 4 explosion of the Edmonton offense, has just been off of his game. Can he dial it back in at home? And like what you said, a game 7 that feels like a different animal.
I think he can. I think the most interesting part of this series, and I don't have the historical context because I don't have the schedules of all the prior Stanley Cups in front of me, but I feel like 2 days off between every single home road game, giving them the extra day, it is a lot. It almost resets the series in a sense. And I know Edmonton's 1-3 straight. We've had game 4. We had game 4 in Edmonton, then game 5 back in Florida, game 6 in Edmonton. So it's like crisscrossing the country for the last 2 weeks, these teams. It feels like that travel and that change of venue does kind of reset things a little bit. So I wouldn't base everything off of my handicap tonight off what we saw in game 6, because I do think this is a different vibe tonight. I would not be surprised. Edmonton's been free and easy. They've used that, right? We use that phrase, house money. They've been skating with house money the last 3 days. You're down 3-0 in a series. What else could possibly go wrong? They started to play looser. They started to win some games. Well, now you're one win away from the Stanley Cup. There's nothing more loose or free about anything that's going to take place tonight. I'm curious who handles that tension and that anxiety better early in the game. I kind of think the Panthers are a little bit better suited to handle it, but they haven't handled it well the last few days. So we'll see if things change tonight in game seven.
Jared, you are the prime minister of the Yerfy Nerfy. Mm. What's like an overview of how it's gone this year? I sense it's been a lot of Nerfies. I've seen some like 15-1 Nerfy days. And what are a few you're looking at for tonight?
It's been crazy. Actually, the best, I've never given myself a nickname in this space until Dustin Sweetelson, our trusty producer and host of Sharp Money, dubbed me the father of first innings, which is my favorite nickname I've ever been given. I don't think I'll ever been be given a better nickname than that in my entire career, but it's a fun market. I think it's a stressful market because the ball could literally hit a pebble and go into center field and you lose your bet. You know, it's like a very, it's a cruel market. One mistake, one error. But I do think it's been a very unique season for the Nerfy. I tracked a 60% month in May. That's absurd. I think we'll get a little bit more closer. It's been kind of 50%. Like the 3 years I've done this, it's been a lot of 51%, 50.5%. Like it's been very much coin flip. But for some reason this year, the Nerfy's been prominent. I think a couple things, it could be a little bit of variance, but I also think the velocity, the average velocity of these starting pitchers is really starting to rise. You're seeing a lot of young rookies make incredible starts. Schemes is the first one that comes to mind, but there's a bunch of them that have just come onto the scene and have just taken the league by storm. I think that benefits a Nerfy. Anytime you get a pitcher that's facing a hitter for the first time, that is always advantage pitcher. And then later in the game, the hitter makes the adjustment. So I think that's a reason why we've seen an increased number of Nerfies this year. And it's fun. It's a market that people love to bet, and I love to give out information for it because there's not a lot of information available.
Well, can you give us some information on today? We've only got about 40 seconds, but can we keep the good vibes rolling? What's the Nerfy play of the day?
We'll go Mariners-Rays. The Mariners have actually been hot in the first inning lately, but they'll face Taz Bradley tonight, who's fantastic. He throws smoke, 40% strikeout rate in the first inning. Brian Wu's been kind of up and down. He's been injured, but I do think he'll get back on track tonight and go a clean first inning down there in Tampa.
Jared Smith, you're the man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate you.
Good luck. You're the rat. Let's do it tonight. Go Panthers.
Oh, please. I would love to see it. Will, we need to close this out, okay? I know that your heart tells you Edmonton today. Why are you going against me? We need Florida. We need Florida. We need a team play.
I didn't say my heart. I don't have a heart. I have a gut feel. It's a gut feel towards Edmonton.
So you have a stomach and a gut, but no heart?
Yes.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, I like where Jared is coming from, that this is a different animal when you get to game seven. And the point that he made about how now Edmonton is going to feel the pressure a little bit, whereas they haven't had to the last couple games. It's like, okay, yeah, it's, don't get me wrong, your season is over if you aren't on top, but now you have the pressure of an actual cup in the building for you, not just Florida. I think it's interesting. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. Plenty more to come. Half hour to go.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content also available at VSiN.com. We got best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and betting news today on the homepage. Our resident NHL expert, Johnny Lazarus, has a breakdown of everything you need to know for tonight's Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final from a side and prop perspective. Plus, even as we enter the dog days of summer here, you can find daily betting previews for games in Major League Baseball, the WNBA, and more. If you haven't hit up VSiN.com yet, you're missing out. It's your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. Speaking of the WNBA, Will, did you watch any of that Fever Sky game last night?
I did. I have Fever under 21.5 wins, and I just count my money. They're 1-8. They're playing terribly. I look up, they were, I think, 7-10, and they had a big lead. I was like, am I going to have to sweat this? Can I possibly lose this? There's no way. And then the Sky rally back. It was a, I would say, exciting finish. It was a close finish. Mm-hmm. I hesitate sometimes to be honest about the product sometimes, because that was not ugly. That was not pretty basketball. Missed free throws, missed layups. Clark, she's almost too nice. She had a chance to shoot the ball, win the game. As somebody who's kind of rooting against them just because of my bet, I was happy she passed. Let somebody else shoot the ball. Steph Curry went through this in college where he want to set other people up, want to get his teammates involved. The problem is her teammates stink. She throws beautiful passes. Mm. It goes right through their hands, or they can't convert the layup. and again, I'm not an expert, but I've watched enough to see, like, she's not getting a lot of help. She does not have a great team around her. I know she hasn't played great, but she's a good player. And I don't know. I think she probably, if you can give her true serum, she probably wishes she could get that shot over with, or that sequence over, and shoot it herself. And look, again, I will state I'm not an expert, but I've heard so many people say the coach for that team is not very good, mm-hmm. and they could use a different basketball mind, not only for the basketball reasons, but I've heard this idea of, hey, hire somebody with some fame, with some celebrity, to maybe just like take a little of the spotlight off her, a little of the pressure. Like if you hired a Mike D'Antoni, not only from a basketball perspective, spacing the floor, getting the most out of her on offense, but now you have a famous coach where people are talking about D'Antoni, people, the spotlight's deflected. I think that might be good for her. So I don't know if that's something that you've watched that you would agree with, but it does seem like they're not, like, there's some holes around her in terms of the coach and her teammates.
Yeah, and probably somebody who gets it too, like, to the extent that what Caitlin Clark is going through. But it's interesting what you mentioned about just the assist portion of it, because early on in the season especially, it was like Aaliyah Boston was this glaring hole and like was not being able to finish any play. She's at least taken a pretty big step here recently. You look at the numbers for Clark though yesterday, seventh game with 15 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, the most by a rookie since Candace Parker in 2008. She had 17, 13, and 6. So she's certainly doing her part. But at minus 1,000 for rookie of the year in the league, I wonder if there could be some other options out there. And you look at Angel Reese, and I don't know if there are two more contrasting figures in the sport right now. And we know the rivalry that dates back to the NCAA tournament 2 years ago and last season and all of that stuff. But Angel Reese, in her performance last night, first rookie with 25 points, 15 boards in a game since Aja Wilson in 2018. She helps this guy overcome that 15-point third quarter deficit here. She's 6-1 and leads the league in offensive rebounds right now. Could that be a bet worth placing in the W?
It's interesting. I would need some information. I need some questions answered. Who are the voters?
What do you mean by that? I mean, it's the same thing.
Who are the voters made up? I need to know who the voters are, because people have their camps, as you've alluded to. Okay. There are people that are pro Clark. There are people that are pro Reese and anti Clark. If I could get, you're really scouting the voters.
We need to get the list. We need to get the list of voters.
Look, I'm not going to lay a -1,000, but in order for me to know if there's value on Reese, I would need to see a makeup of, like, all right, how many voters? Who are the voters? Is there an anti Clark bias? Is there a pro Clark bias? I think that's the key. Based on the numbers, Reese is kind of right there. I think Clark's rightfully favored. Maybe she's too high. But I think if you're tapping into the voters, because this has become, let's face it, it's become so political. It's almost exhausting, where sometimes if you're on Twitter, you have to just kind of exit the chat with some of this stuff, because nobody feels like nobody just wants to be fair about any of this. So I think this is going to be an interesting vote in terms of who's voting and where do their allegiances lie.
Elliot,
is that fair?
You said 6D. Sorry, Ellie Bowman. Yeah. Our producer Elliot Bowman got in my ear and said there are 6D voters. So you would hope with that, like, many people that are
large
involved in the
size
process, that the more accurate, I guess, answer should even itself out. But we'll see. I think it's an interesting conversation that's certainly worth having. And Angel Reese post-game interview after the game. Like, let other people say nice things about you. You don't need to say them about yourself. But that's just my personal preference. I think that humility is a nice quality if we can get that out there. But
you say that, but I did a show with you once, and as soon as the show ended, you slammed down your headpiece. You said, "I'm a dog. You can't teach that. I'm a dog." So you do the same stuff.
You can't teach that. No, I'm come on, Will. Let's go. Okay, let's switch gears here to a little NFL conversation. DraftKings has a few different interesting markets up in the futures market for best and worst offenses. So we've got, you know, teams to score the most points, teams to score the fewest points, NFL passing leader, receiving leader. The list goes on and on and on. Before we get into some specific numbers, I guess for you, like, what makes a productive offense? Are there certain metrics that you are particularly looking out for? Is it all a quarterback base for you? Like, what are you looking at before you make a bet in this market, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to look at the quarterback, but I'm trying to think if I bet this before. I don't remember top of my head. Usually by the time football season starts, I have so many bets, it's hard to keep track. But I don't dip into this market a lot. I'm curious if you do. I think an underrated part of this is the weather, where if you're going to score the most points in the league, you don't want a Cleveland. You don't want a team that's playing their home games late in the season, November, December, in bad weather, with cold, with wind, with snow. So And you don't want to play in a division where you're dealing with a lot of that stuff. So, all right, Miami's got good weather, but if you look at Miami's schedule late in the year, they play at Cleveland, at Green Bay, and at the Jets, where it's like, okay, that's going to take a hit. We've seen their offense operate in cold weather, or their inability to operate in cold weather, especially that Chiefs game where, you know, Mahomes was fine and Tua basically, you know, they couldn't get the ball past midfield. So San Francisco is a natural one. I mean, they're the short shot at 5-1. Detroit also, where weather's not an issue. San Fran, also, you look around their division. Arizona, they play twice. That's no weather there. Their opponent, Seattle, weather's usually not an issue except for a little rain, but that's not a big deal. And the Rams in L.A. So the weather, the division, keep that in mind, because even if you like the offense, like if you're playing in cold, snow, bad weather late in the season, that's something that's going to depress your scoring.
Do you think with that in mind, there could actually be maybe more of an advantage looking to the opposite market instead of to score the most points, the fewest points, and just basically betting against teams that you don't have a lot of confidence in?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, looking at these markets, let me know what you think. It feels properly priced. It feels like sure. The teams you want to bet, all right, I think the Patriots are going to be bad. Yeah, well, you're getting 3-1, the Broncos at 4-1. Maybe the Giants at 10-1. That's not a bad one. They lose Barkley. They don't really have a quarterback. I know they have neighbors, but they don't have a lot of receivers. So maybe the Giants would be one. And then if you're really looking for a long shot, like it's hard to project, but if you think for some reason a team that's going to lose their quarterback, like the Jets, I don't think won this market last year, but they got pretty close because they lost Rodgers and they couldn't score. So if for some reason you have an inkling or a theory, hey, Josh Allen runs too much, eventually he's going to get hurt, I'm going to bet the Bills. That could be one where you go for a real moonshot, but I don't know. Looking at this, is there one you would actually bet? Because to me, maybe Giants 10-1, but other than that, nothing I'm dying to bet.
Honestly, you took the words out of my mouth, but I am somebody that I'm very low on the Giants going into this year. And I understand completely what you were saying about Brian Daboll. I agree. Like, I don't think that he is a bad coach by any means. I just think the situation in terms of personnel and like the talent that you have available to you is not good. And Daniel Jones, I'm somebody firmly not a believer in him. I do not think that he should have gotten the contract that he did, period. Then he comes back and has multiple injuries. I'm not sure how he's going to respond to that. To your point, Saquon Barkley, not only is he not there anymore, now he's at a division rival. The offensive line has been terrible for a decade, and even every year with them trying to add to it and build up young talent, nobody's been able to do anything. And yeah, you bring in Brian Burns on defense, but even if your defense is good, if your offense is only putting up 14 points per game, like why does it matter? So I don't know. I don't have a lot of belief in New York at all, to be honest.
Plus they play in bad weather. Plus they play
against
the Cowboys and the Eagles. It's not like, you know, those are tough teams. Washington
and good defenses.
And in Washington, depending on when you play them, and I didn't look when you play them, you're going to have to deal with weather in that division too, which is going to suppress it. So if I had to take a bet, I mean, look, 3-1, New England's probably the rightful short shot. I mean, is there one player on New England you want on your fantasy team? People that are going to pick them to be better, and hey, they could be 500. And not that a lot of people have said that, but I've heard that here and there. Where's the skill? Where's the talent? They have offensive line issues too, and there's just, it's a lot of like third and fourth receivers, which has been their problem the last few years, the post-Brady era. They don't have any guys. They don't have any dudes. They don't have anybody you're going to pick in your fantasy league.
Real quickly, because I know we have to hit the break, but because you mentioned the Jets, like if Aaron Rodgers were to get injured again, what's your level of faith in Tyrod Taylor?
It's a solid backup. He's an average or slightly above average backup. Much better than they had last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think and everyone would agree just about anything is better than what they got from Zach Wilson last season. But
be nice. You're going to be covering him pretty soon in the UFL. Be nice.
I've covered him plenty at BYU, okay? It'll be fine. We'll be nice. But I just wonder about his health as well, that he's somebody that historically when he gets in games goes down early. So I don't know. We'll hit the break. We'll be right back. Closing things out. The show went by fast. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
While it's always football season here on the Lombardi Line, NFL training camps are starting in less than a month, so everybody else is going to join in with us soon. And our VSiN experts have been hard at work trying to get you set for the upcoming season. Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide drops this Thursday, and it's jam-packed with everything you need to bet this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles on each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends that you won't find anywhere else, and that's not all. Our experts have also weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, VSiN's going all out with special coverage throughout the day. Tune in Thursday for expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to start the season strong. Remember, the only way, though, to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Will Hill in for Michael Lombardi today, holding it down today and tomorrow. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Closing out what is a Championship Monday edition of the program, because we have two titles that are going to be handed out a little bit later on tonight. Not only do we have Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Oilers and Panthers, but also in the College World Series, Will, Tennessee, top overall seed in the tournament. They dropped Game 1 of the College World Series, bounced back with a 4-1 win yesterday over Texas A&M. They're a pretty big favorite coming up today. And I know when we talked at the beginning of the show, you said perhaps that plus money price on the Aggies could be worth a look. Why?
Just watching these games, it doesn't seem like there's that much of a difference between Tennessee and A&M. A&M was the short shot a lot of the year, late coming into, I think, the regionals, the super regionals. I know they've had some injuries, so that's affected the price, and maybe the price is justified. I'm not going to lay the minus 220 or whatever. I think getting almost shop around, but I've seen some plus 180, plus 190 on the Aggies. That just seems high. And look, if nothing else, you could take the plus 180, take the big plus number, and you get a 2-3-0 lead. You could come back on the other side with Tennessee at plus money if you want to just, you know, attack it that way. You do get some wild swings in these college baseball games. So fun night, really fun night. I don't know why the schedule makers, I don't know who's at fault here, that they couldn't get on the same page and just say, hey, you're going to have your possible Game 7 on this night. Let's make sure we don't collide, because the summer's long. I know we have the Olympics, we've got some soccer and some other things, but these are two events that would carry the night usually, where if we just had the college baseball title game, or if we just had the Stanley Cup, and then one of them, and the one we didn't have tonight, we'd have tomorrow. I think that'd be better off. But as you know, I am not in charge of these schedules. The world would be a better place if I was, but I'm not.
Well, we'll have to make a call to make that happen. But at least we do get a little bit of the College World Series as a standalone for a while, right? So that game, first pitch is scheduled for 7 Eastern on ESPN. The Stanley Cup Final is set to begin around 8:20. But you know, with
over. Let me get the I meant to ask you about that. It's listed 8:20. What's a good? Yeah. Let's set an over under. What's the over under for the time the puck drops?
It's gonna take a minute. We gotta get the anthem.
Both a line.
We gotta get both of the anthems in there. We've gotta have the full blown pregame action. Everything, like, it's gonna be a spectacle. But for Game 7, it deserves
832 and a half. 832 is the over-under. Where are you going? Over or
over?
Under? Okay. What's a fair over-under then? You're better at this.
No, I just want to cash my over ticket, obviously. Okay. Well, why would I ask you to reset the number when you already gave me a good one? I would say probably like 35. I could see it.
835 is the over-under.
I think 835 is probably more in the wheelhouse of when we're actually going to get started. But that's just me. Okay. The final thought here, just on the College World Series, though, those actual prices at DraftKings, we actually have plus 185 right now on Texas A&M. Tennessee minus 245. They're minus 145 on the run line as well. The total we saw earlier in the show was sitting 10.5. That has ticked back down to 10 since. We'll see how things play out ultimately there. Tennessee, should they win, would be the first number one overall seed to win the College World Series since 1999. Pretty shocking that the best team in the country hasn't actually gone on to win in such a long time. As for Game 7 tonight in the Stanley Cup Final, we all know the stat by now, right? Only one team ever historically has come back from down 3-0 to ultimately raise that cup over their heads, and it was the Toronto Maple Leafs in 1942. Can Edmonton make history tonight? I feel like the momentum at this point has all swung in Edmonton's favor, but I'm sticking to my guns in the way that I thought coming into this series, that Florida is the better defensive team overall. Florida has the depth. They have the capabilities to win this thing. I'm just writing out my futures ticket, my series, excuse me, ticket. It was minus 135 that I laid. I don't see a point in trying to hedge off of it now. But what I have been doing in these other games since just my, for whatever reason, my handicap on the sides have not been successful the last three games. Edmonton has just been wrecking me that to the point where I'm like, I don't even want to bet these games. So I've been sticking to totals. I still don't feel firm enough on the game total at 5.5 that I'm sticking with the first period under. And that's my favorite bet of this game. It's the only one that I've actually placed right now. I might look at some props before we get to puck drop, but I think both teams are going to show a little bit of nerves today, which leads us to our pro tip of the day. You can get these at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. But I think that guys are going to be holding those sticks a little bit tight. There's going to be an anxiousness about the environment out there in Sunrise. For this is the first time that both teams have that pressure on them that the winner is going to be leaving with a Stanley Cup. First period in each game of this series has been one goal, except for that game four when Edmonton, of course, had just that eruption of eight goals in the game. I think the first period under is the play today, if anything.
What you're referring to, I do the Megapod with Todd Wishnev and Gil Alexander. Todd Wishnev refers to that as the sphincter factor, the sphincteritis, that these teams come out a little tight and a little nervous.
That's excellent.
How about this one at DraftKings? You can do correct score for the first period. 0-0, so scoreless first period, plus 240. Is that enough to get Stormy to
I love it. Let's sprinkle that. That's okay, adding it to the list. First period under, especially because, I mean, the first period under is like juiced to high heaven now. I think, as I just looked at it, it's like minus 140 something. So if you don't want to lay it, or if you want to kind of take twofold and see if you can double dip and get a nice plus money ticket as well, like, I think that that's a good angle and just fun. Throw some pizza money on that.
Fun too, but there's nothing fun about it. You sit there for, it's not fun.
It's very
true.
You can
lose at any moment. You just have to hold your breath. There's nothing fun about
it. With our luck, they're going to score a goal 3 minutes in or something like that. But
which is, no, that's not the worst way to lose it. The worst way is you sit there for 18 and a half minutes and you just, save and another save. You dodge a power play, you feel good, and then one slips in. Yeah, it's not a fun one, but it's plus 240. If you think it's going to be low scoring, not terrible.
Yeah, again, VSiN pro tips are available at VSiN.com. I think scoring first is going to be critical as well. We discussed that with Greg Wyshynski and Jared Smith throughout the show today, which, by the way, if you missed any of the show, you can download it in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. Same thing with the Shoulda Bet More podcast. If you don't know, now you know. Make sure you get in there, because I know you had a great guest on this week as well, breaking down all things Game 7. But teams that score first in Game 7 of the Cup Final, 12-5 on a run of 8 straight wins when scoring first. Teams that score first in general in Game 7 of the postseason, 149-48. That's a 76% winning percentage. And the Panthers in this series, 1-3 when trailing after the first period. So it has been all Edmonton. When they get a lead, they hold on to it the back end of this set. We know now, at least you mean, tell me if you disagree, but it feels very much so like Connor McDavid, regardless of the outcome, has got to be the Conn Smythe winner. I know we tried to make an argument for Sasha Barkov, but even that argument from Greg Wyshynski was maybe if he scores 5 goals tonight, then he can win the award, but that's about it.
I'm not as sold as everybody else. If Barkov has a game winner in overtime, they're still going to give it to McDavid. I guess that's what the market's telling you. I'd be curious, is there a no price? It feels like the minus 3,000 is just jacked up so that you don't bet McDavid. Look, he's probably going to win. He's minus 3,000. He's probably going to win.
Yeah.
But I'd be curious, like, could you take a no price? Could you take McDavid versus the field? What would that number look like? Again, he's probably going to win, but I'm not just 100% convinced that, hey, no matter what, if this is 4-1, if this is 4-0, 5-1 Florida, McDavid 100% is going to get this award. I don't think that's like an absolute lock.
McDavid, depending on the sportsbook, priced anywhere between minus 2,500 and minus 5,000 right now. Another interesting stat that I came across from ESPN Sports and Information Group, road teams in game sevens across championship series in the NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball are on a run of 6 straight game sevens where the road team has won. The most recent home team to win a title, Game 7, 2013, the Miami Heat. So road teams have been handling business. Edmonton, again, depending on the book right now, actually a slight favorite in some spots. So we're seeing that flip a little bit, despite Florida being at home in Sunrise. It's going to be a crazy environment. I think it's going to be a fun game. But are we going to see – I know Jared said it wouldn't be a choke job, because it's hockey and it's a little bit different.
Yeah, you're up 3-0.
It's a choke job, right?
Yeah, it's a choke. It's not as bad as Yankees Red Sox, but it's still a choke. You're up 3-0. Yeah. And look, there's so many subplots. We didn't even mention the Canada streak. I don't think we've mentioned that in the 2 hours. Canada going for
a first
cup.
I mentioned it earlier.
All right. As I said, you mentioned it earlier, which was a good job by you mentioning it. McDavid going for his cup, the 3-0 angle. There's so many subplots. I will say this is the most excited I've been for a hockey game in a very long time.
The last time that the Edmonton Oilers won a cup, the Florida Panthers were not even in existence yet. So either way, it's going to be a good win one way or another. That's a wrap for today. Will, we will see you back here same time, same place tomorrow. Good luck with your bets, everybody, and enjoy Championship Monday.